is the CEO of the Institute of the Motor Industry, and I'm rather hoping Steve's going to be on the end of the line. Hello.
Hello there. it's always good when the person is there, isn't it?
It is. It's one of those things where having one of those wonderful technical mornings where this and that's happening, and it's very reassuring for me when people say, well, we think Steve's there. So you are.
I am indeed.
So tell me, this, you know, seems to be intellectually flawless, but it isn't happening. So why are we not getting more assistance to get people to make the switch to cars that have a positive impact on CO2 emissions?
Well, I think, you know, that you've kind of hit the nail on the head there, actually. I the government has put aside a huge amount of money. I mean, a fund of $600 million to help promote and get people to move towards using electric and hybrid vehicles. And, you know, at the moment, I mean, they've just this year announced a fund of around $35 million, which is primarily being used to, you know, which is part of that bigger fund, to get the charging networks in place. And of course, you know, that's an obvious blockage to people switching to these type of cars. But as you've quoted, you know, we found out that 71% of people are saying, yeah, but I'm not willing to pay more for insurance for these cars. And, you know, and we're talking in some cases up to 50% more.
Wow.
Than comparable petrol or diesel models. The reason why the insurers are loading up the premiums like that is because they can see that currently there's a lack of people qualified to work on them, particularly at the highest level. Because if a car's been in an accident, you know, you're going to have to get, this is not generally superficial stuff. You know, you're going to have to be prepared to get into the sort of high voltage electrics. And actually, today, of the sort of roughly 250,000 people working on cars, only about 1% of people are qualified to work on, you know, safely on those high voltage systems, and they pretty much all work within the manufacturer's dealer network. So the wider industry, as yet, doesn't have these skills. And I think some of it's about understanding. You know, I think we took a lot of politicians along to a manufacturer last year to show them just how different an electric or a plug-in hybrid car is to a normal car, as in a sort of petrol or diesel car, which a lot of them didn't actually understand up to that point in time. You know, if you've been working on petrol and diesel cars, you can't simply make the switch because they're completely different. You know, so that's the primary primary factor driving these higher insurance costs. And we're saying to the government, well, look, you know, if you really want to make this thing happen, some of that big fund you've set aside needs to be put into kind of breaking this chicken and egg situation, because, you know, you'll have the wider sector, you know, the independent garages and stuff will kind of stand back and say, well, when there's a lot of them around, we might train ourselves. But actually, there won't be a lot of them around unless they are trained, because that's what's pushing the insurance costs up. So to stop that sort of chicken and egg situation, we're saying to the government, invest some money in promoting this training, helping us get people brought up to the skill levels needed. And then you'll see the insurance premiums come down. And actually, you know, the government themselves can help put a bit of pressure back on the insurers and say, look, we've invested here. We want to see those premiums come down. And then you're taking away one of the big impediments for people making that switch.
Well, you would think that from a government point of view, this is a win-win situation, because they're going to please the green lobby, and they're also creating more employment and more highly skilled workers.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, the interesting thing is, I mean, I wrote to John Hayes, the Minister of Transport, and who was initially not terribly interested, but I went back and kind of reasserted the arguments with him. And I'm pleased to say, as of yesterday, we heard from his department, and they are going to meet with us on this, and I see that as a positive opportunity to put forward these arguments. And you know, we're actually only trying to help them with their own agenda, actually. And at the same time, you know, we don't want to see people. We also don't want to see people working on these cars when they don't know what they're doing, because.
No.
they're totally safe to drive and to ride in, but if you play around under the bonnet, there are voltages under there that are substantially higher than you'll find in the mains, you know, and they're not something that you should be working on if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Steve, as they say in our business, this sounds like one that's going to run and run. There's still a few fences to be jumped before we get this properly regulated, but a fascinating subject and side issues that we've touched on this morning that will be news to a lot of people. So thanks for your patience, and lovely to talk to you this morning.
Very good to talk to you.